Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hello, Peaches. How are you?
Fine, are you?
I'm good, thank you. Praise God today. Amen. Praise God for strength. Amen. Because I need some strength right about now. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. So we got to find some joy. And you come to the Word, I guess that's the best place to find some joy, because you'll find God in the Word. We were in our Bible study last week, and our title from last week was Broken Bread and Open Eyes. And we were looking at Jesus talking to the disciples who were on the road to Emmaus. And they were sad when he came up upon them, because this was just 3 days after he had been crucified. And so they were sad, and they were walking along, and Jesus came walking alongside of them, and he said, "What are y'all talking about?" And they said, "Don't you know what happened here in Jerusalem over these last 3 days?" And he said, "What?" And so then they told him what had happened. This Jesus was here, and we thought he was going to be the one. We thought he was going to be the one. I think there are plenty of women walking around here who they met a man, they said, "I just knew he was going to be the one."
Amen.
Turned out that he's not the one, amen. You just knew it. You know what I mean? I just knew he was going to be the one. Nope. And some men, too, they think they found the right woman. I just knew she was going to be the one. Mm-mm. And it's funny, when you know somebody's going to be the one and they turn out not to be the one, it can really break your heart. You can really be thrown for a loop. And so they thought Jesus was going to be the one, and he turned out not to be the one. At least they thought. They said, "Oh, but he's been crucified." And then Jesus came up on their house, and he was about to keep on walking. But it was dark outside, and so they insisted that he stay with them that night. And then he goes into their house, and he's a guest, but then the scriptures flip it around, and next thing you know, he's serving the food in their house. And that's where we got to on last week, when he started to serve the food to the disciples. And so we're going to pick up on there, and after he broke the bread and gave it to them, we'll pick up at that point. But let's pray first, and then we'll finish getting into the scriptures and the lesson. Let's pray. Father, we give you the praise and the thanks and the glory and the honor. Because, Father, you're worthy of it. And so we look to you now, God, and we lift up our hands and our hearts, and we bless you and say thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for another day in the land of the living. Thank you, God, for all that you have given us on today, God. You've supplied us with everything that we needed to get to this point. Otherwise, we would not be here. And so, Father, we're thankful that we are here. And that, Father, we are ready to hear your voice and to hear your word. And so, Father, we pray that you will speak, God. Let your scriptures come alive tonight in the name of Jesus. Let our hearts, like the disciples, burn with revelation. Father God, fill us, O God, with all that it is that we need right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And do it, God, not by might nor by power, but do it by your spirit in the name of Jesus. And so, Father God, we come unto you like Mary. We sit at your feet, that you may break down to us the word of God. And we just give you the praise for it now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so now they get into the house. Let's go ahead to verse 28. They drew nigh unto the village. This is Luke chapter 24, and we're at verse 28. And this is after Jesus has been speaking to them throughout the Bible about the scriptures concerning him. And verse 28 says, "And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now, this is interesting, right? Because after Jesus rose from the dead, he would come into rooms and leave rooms in a minute. Mm-hmm. Not even a minute. He would just vanish. He would just appear. The Bible says that shortly after he was crucified, but after he rose from the grave, the disciples were in a room, and the room was locked because they were afraid of the Jews. And Jesus appeared and said, Peace. Mm-hmm. Right? Peace be with you. And asking for some food. And here, Jesus just disappears. Mm-hmm. Now, for us as human beings, we really can't relate to this. Because when we want to come someplace or leave someplace, we have to walk. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We got to walk in and we got to walk out. None of us are just here like this and the next thing we're gone. Okay. Now, sometimes we say that. I looked up and he was gone. Yeah, you didn't look up and he was gone, like he was right there and you went like that and he was gone. You did something, came back, and it was enough time for him to walk away.
Right.
But I look at this and I say, man, oh man. When we get our glorified bodies, they're going to be just like Jesus. That means we're going to be able to be here and be gone in a second. I believe our glorified body is going to allow us to, like, travel hundreds of miles like that.
Amen.
You believe that, Peter?
Yeah.
We're going to be able to move. How did Jesus just get out of there like that? Jesus just comes through.
Because he's a spiritual
priest. And we're going to be the same way. Amen. We're going to have glorified bodies just like him.
Perfect.
Yep. Being able to move fast.
We'll be young again.
Oh, young again. Young forever.
Amen.
No more pain.
Yeah, no more suffering.
Nope. No more fat. Amen. We don't even have to exercise no more.
Oh, no, we'll eat the right food because we're bored.
Yeah. Everything's going to be good. But I look at this and I say, oh, praise the Lord for that day. Amen. That when we can just, because we're going to be the same way. Mm-hmm. Right? Our bodies are going to be transformed. It's not going to be any more limited by time and space like it is now. And so Jesus, amen, it says after he took the bread and blessed it and broke it, he gave it to them. Their eyes were open. They knew who he was, and then he was gone. He vanished out of their sight. So now, we stopped at question 7, and we said, pay close attention to question 8. Because question 8 says, why do you think their eyes are open at this particular moment? At the breaking of the bread, amen, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to them, right? And want to back up even more. He took it, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it.
And they, inside their body,
he
turned around and realized who it was.
Yeah, now up until this point, they didn't know who he was.
Right.
They're talking to him, he's right there, they're looking at him in his face, he's looking at them in their face, and they don't know who he is.
Right.
He's speaking, they still don't know who he is. He's teaching, they still don't know who he is. But now the minute he gives them some food, why? Why at that point?
I think it was the breaking of the bread that reminded them when their eyes opened, when they taste the bread.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus' body.
Isn't that interesting? Because there is some similarity to the communion, right? To the Last Supper, isn't it?
Yeah.
When Jesus took the bread And he blessed it and he broke it. And he said what? Take, eat. This is
my body.
My body. In other words, this is me.
Right. That's
right? There's something to that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's something you can see that there is some similarity there. Yeah.
Well, actually, it's not for me, but Patricia asked me to ask this question at this point. She sent me an email. I told her I would just read it. Said she don't really put her two cents in. She listens to the Bible study. In verse 30 and 31, it states that their eyes were open when he blessed and broke the bread. Pastor mentioned, but now or later, so I read it and had me thinking. At no point was the serpent mentioned in Genesis until his interaction with Adam and Eve. Since they had not encountered it prior to that moment, they were not sure who or what he truly was. So when he began speaking to them, they did not know how to react. They were not familiar with him. Which made me think about these men. If they truly knew who Jesus was, why didn't they know or recognize him? They spent time talking to him before inviting him for a meal. Did they not recognize his voice? Even today, if I saw someone I personally knew a yard away, I recognize them or think to myself they look familiar. Maybe these men were distant followers of Jesus, never really personally interacting with him. Maybe the light bulb went off in their minds when he blessed the food because they were probably there for the feeding of the 5,000. I don't know, just my thoughts, but she wanted to know what you had to say.
They're called disciples. Mm-hmm. So that means they knew. Number one.
But maybe they wasn't sure it was him standing near them until they ate the bread.
But the thing about the if they knew him, we don't have to guess if Mary knew him.
Right.
And when she went to the tomb, she didn't recognize him either.
But she wasn't facing him at the time.
Hmm?
She was not facing him when he was behind her talking to him.
No, but she heard his voice.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, right? And she looked at him and she said, if you took him,
yeah, that's true.
Tell me where he is
and go get him.
So I can go get him.
And she didn't recognize him.
Mm-hmm. And see, here's the thing. We have to go back to something. See, because the scriptures answer themselves. Let's go back to verse number 15. And see, this is fun. This is interesting because, you know, we sometimes come to the Word of God and we leave God out. But let's put God back in. Let's look at verse 15. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him. Now, we don't use the word holding, right? But in the Amplified it says, but their eyes were held. Now there's such a thing called, right, in grammar, the passive voice. The passive voice is like here, their eyes were held. You know, my card was taken. And you always know passive voice because you don't know who did the thing. You got to ask by who. Right? That's because it's passive. That's why when they, you know, when you write or when you speak, you know, people who are very concerned about grammar will tell you, speak in the active voice. Mm-hmm. I took the book. She took the book. Not my book was taken. Because you go, by who? But if you speak active voice, you go, she took the book.
Mm-hmm. I'll call the person name.
Right? Right. But you don't go, my book was taken.
Right.
Here it says, their eyes were held. By who?
By him.
Wow.
See, you got to meet, right? When their eyes were held, who were their eyes held by?
Wow.
God held their eyes back
yeah.
from recognizing Jesus.
And that's not why they didn't see him.
See, that's why we got to understand God's in the Word, but sometimes we go kind of fast. When it says their eyes were held, you got to ask the question, by who? Who held their eyes back that they couldn't recognize? God did.
Wow.
Why? Because there was something that they needed to hear first. See, some of us, if we see first, we ain't going to hear. That's why sometimes we don't get the blessing first, because God got to tell us some things first. You got to learn some things first. You got to hear the word first before you get the thing that you're looking for. Because see, God knows, if I give you what you're looking for, you ain't listening no more.
Wow.
You're going to be gone, baby, gone. But here, when it says that their eyes were held, and the scripture doesn't really explain, so we can only try to listen to the Spirit of God and let Him speak to us as to exactly why. But God held them back from recognizing Jesus. And but that allowed them the opportunity to walk along and to hear this man who they don't recognize open up the word to them and to share the word. Because I tell you this, what do you think would have happened if these men who were walking along, and the scripture says, right, amen, that they, as they were walking along, Jesus said to them, he said, what manner of communications, in verse 17, are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? So these men are sad. They're sad because of what has happened over these past few days. What do you think would have happened if Jesus walked alongside of them and the minute he came there, they knew who he was?
They'd have been joyful.
Oh, man, right? They'd have been, oh, yeah, yeah. But you know what they wouldn't have had? Understanding. They wouldn't have had understanding. In other words, see, Jesus was always concerned about people not being caught up in the miracle and missing the message. That's why sometimes he would tell people, he would do something for somebody and say, don't tell anybody. Why would he do that? Because he didn't want everybody coming around him just because he could multiply fish and bread, just because he could heal people. He said he didn't want that. He wanted them to get the message that God had sent into the world a Messiah who was going to save the world from their sin. That's what he wanted them to get. Not that there was someone in the neighborhood now who could do miracles and turn water into wine. He did those things, but he didn't want that to be the focus. And God doesn't want that to be the focus today. He'd rather us get the message than get the miracle. Because if we get the message, if we get the word, we would live a life that's a miracle. We wouldn't need these occasional, you know what I mean? These things that happen every time we, oh, I need something, oh, I need something. God doesn't want us living like that. He wants us to live a life of victory. And that life of victory comes when we get the message. And so, yeah, if Jesus would have came alongside them, they would have been rejoicing, but they wouldn't have got the message. They wouldn't have understood. And then here's the thing. And Jesus also knew something. He also knew in 50 days he was going to be gone again. Mm-hmm. What are they going to do then? Get broken up again? You know what I mean? But now that they have the message and they understand that this is the Messiah and he had to suffer and they understood that God was ushering in a new kingdom. Now when Jesus now ascends to heaven, they can carry on in strength. Why? Because they got the message. But getting back to the question, the scripture says their eyes were held.
Yeah.
Who did it? See, whenever a pastor voices you, you got to ask who did it. And here, you know who did it? God did it. And that's why we come back to the question, right? Why do you think their eyes are open at this particular moment? And the thing is, we can have opinions on it, but we don't really know.
Right.
We don't know, but there seems to be something in it, right? That breaking of the bread, right? That intimacy, that revelation of who Jesus is, this connection that now. And it could be, listen, that God was done. In other words, I did what I had to do with these guys. They got the message, right? They're going to be on fire from this point. But you know they're going to be on fire, because later on they said what? Didn't our hearts
burn?
That word was in them like fire. Like Jeremiah said, right? The word is in me like what? Fire shut up in my bones. So God said, why do you think they're opening their eyes? God did it. The same God who the same God who closed their eyes opened their eyes. And this is why I gotta say, we gotta make sure that we put God in the scripture. So many times we wonder, like, you know, why, how they do it? God is in everything. God is in everything. Now somebody says, he's not in everything. He's not in bad stuff. God said, I'll be with you in trouble. When I'm in trouble, God's in trouble. You ever do that? You ever do that? Read that God's in trouble? When I get in trouble, he's in trouble. Because he said he'd be there with me.
Which is true, because some people that get in trouble, first thing they want to do is pray to God.
That's right.
That never happened to them. They won't do it no more. You know, you be looking at them like, for real?
Yeah, that's it. But God is in the scripture. And so God closed their eyes and God opened their eyes. And God had a purpose. I mean, the timing of it, we can talk about it. You know, God can say something to me, say something to you, say something to a third person. And maybe all of it together, we can all say, okay, or maybe what he says to me makes sense to me, what he says to you makes sense to you. But the bottom line is, God is the one who did this. It wasn't them. God held their eyes, and then God opened them. And they saw who Jesus was. And know what's interesting about it? We talk about, because immediately preceding this is the taking of the bread, the blessing of the bread, the breaking of the bread, and the giving of the bread. But you know what I do? You know what I go back to? That as they were walking, Jesus was breaking down the scriptures to them. And the Bible says that Jesus is the Word. So we can say that, like, the bread is like Jesus' body symbolically when he was talking about the communion table. But one thing for sure, this Word is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the living Word. And so when Jesus was taking them through the Word, he was taking them through himself in order to reveal himself unto them. I don't miss that part either. That in order to find Jesus, you've got to go through the Word. You have to. Amen? You have to. And either that Word is being shared with you by somebody, or you're reading the Word, but if we're going to come to know Jesus, we're not going to come to know him apart from the Word, because he is the Word. And so I go back to that part too, that Jesus here, by bringing them through the scripture and revealing, and they even said that he was talking about, if you look again in verse 27, it says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Right? So he's speaking, and he's taking them through the Word, and everything he's telling them concerns him. And I believe that also was part of the revelation that they were getting, because they were being fed the Word of God. Just like, how do you come to know Jesus? Every time you come into this Word and you're reading it, a little bit more is being deposited in your spirit about who Jesus is. It comes through the Word.
He's the Son of God.
Yeah, he's the Son of God, and he's the Word of God.
Yes, amen.
Right? I mean, so here it is. And so here we come to know him through this Word. But God revealed the Word made flesh to them. But there's no question that there is this very reminiscent of the communion or the Last Supper and the breaking of the bread. But I think in terms of Patricia's question, I think we go back and look at the scriptures. God held their eyes.
Yeah.
Amen. And then he released their eyes. And how many of you know God does the same thing to us? There's things right now that you'll search, you'll ask God, you'll ask God, I don't understand. And sometimes it feels like what? The light bulb goes off. How do you now understand something that was just troubling you for all this time? And now all of a sudden, it makes sense. That's because God now said, okay, I'm taking off the blinders. It's just like Paul. Paul was on the road to Damascus. I mean, he was Saul at the time. He's on the road to Damascus. And he meets Jesus on the road. Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul gets struck blind. And then Jesus calls Ananias and tell him, go find Paul, lay hands on him, and tell him I got work for him to do. And Ananias goes and finds him and says, Brother Paul, or Saul, right? And lays hands on him, and it says that his eyes were open like scales fell off his eyes. And now he could see. How his eyes got open? Because Jesus sent somebody there to open.
Yeah.
I'm telling you now, God sometimes sends people our way to open our eyes. Yeah. And sometimes our eyes are open, but we can't see, and sometimes our eyes are closed. But it's up to God to give revelation. Now, I think that's the bottom line. We got to understand revelation comes from God. And so these disciples, when they come to know him, We must be careful. We must be sure that we give God the credit first and say, God did it. How'd that go? God did it. I mean, how many of you know, you can always be right with that one when you talk about stuff that's in the Bible. God did it. Many times when God is moving and the Spirit is moving and Jesus is moving, and we sometimes go past God and focus on the people. Don't bypass God, amen. God held their eyes, God opened their eyes. And I'm praising God that he does that even now for us. Now let's look at question 9. It says, how does the risen Jesus still make himself known to us in the breaking of bread and sharing of meals? We talked about communion a little bit already, right? Mm-hmm. That communion table is important, right? Because yeah. Jesus said, as often as you do this what? Remembrance. In remembrance of me. Mm-hmm. Amen. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. So that communion table, amen, Jesus shows himself unto us. And we proclaim him through communion. But also too, it says, is there any other way? I mean, what about fellowshipping or breaking bread with other believers? What about it?
When we fellowship with each other, especially after church, we fellowship and we go out to dinner, or we just have something together. Feel the presence of God and breaking the bread and the sharing, the intimacy.
Yeah.
Feel
Let's do this. And God is big on sitting down and eating, you know. Let's think about how many times Jesus was eating in the Bible. I mean, Jesus was eating so much that the Pharisees said, they would talk to the disciples, they said, your master is nothing but a wine pimper. Right? They talk about he was just drinking and eating, drinking and eating. Let's think about who Jesus ate with. Who did Jesus eat with in the Bible?
Huh? 5,000 people.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But I'm talking about like going to somebody's house.
Zacharias.
Yeah, he went to Zacchaeus. This day I must come to your house. And he ate. Remember the little man who got up in the tree to see Jesus? He was too little to see him. And so he ran up into the sycamore tree so he could see Jesus. And then Jesus saw him and said, make haste and come down, for today I must eat at thy house. So he ate at Zacchaeus' house.
Mary and Martha.
He had Mary and Martha's house. After he raised Lazarus from the dead, he was eating at their house. Right? He ate at Matthew's house. But they got mad at him when he went to Matthew's house because he was sitting with tax collectors. Mm-hmm. He ate at Simon the leper's house. He said the woman was washing his feet with her tears, and he said, you didn't even give me cold water, Simon. You didn't give me no water for my feet or nothing. So he went to Simon the leper's house. Oh, I don't know, but he was eating there too. Right? I mean, he had glasses. But the bottom line is, you know, it shows a God who is, right? Who's a fellowshipping, intimate, sitting at the table, conversing, right? This is the God we serve. This is what Jesus did. So I think God's big on eating. Eating together, right? At a table, same spirit, common bond, sharing love, sharing peace, sharing joy with one another. And in that, we'll find God in that. That's why when we were talking last week that there are times when you're at a table and the meal is long over, but you're having a conversation that feels like it can just go on forever. Right? It's because God is in that. The fellowship and the kinship of the spirit of the people are connecting in such a way, and there's such a peace that God is just inhabiting that thing. Let's look at number 10. Why is it significant that the two recall feeling as though their hearts were burning within them as they walked along the road? Now, let's go back to the scripture. It says, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? I love the way they say that too. While he opened to us the scriptures. They gave God the glory. They gave Jesus the glory for opening the scriptures to them. Would to God that people today who read the Bible would give God the glory for giving them the revelation instead of walking around acting like they got it on their own. Give God the glory for teaching you. Because if the Holy Spirit doesn't teach us the scriptures, we cannot learn the scriptures. They gave Jesus the glory. Amen. While he opened to us the scriptures. It's up to God to make this word come alive to us. We cannot do it on our own. That's what Paul was saying. He said that the things of a man, right, you know, you learn from a man. But the things of the Spirit, it comes from the Spirit. And so this word, which is spirit and life, we need God to open up the scriptures to us. But notice they said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. So, why is it significant that the two recall feeling as though their hearts were burning within them as they walked along the road with Jesus? Right? What do they mean? Like, didn't our hearts burn? Now, I've had heartburn before. You ever had heartburn?
Some too spicy.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that doesn't feel too good. That's one of those things I have in a heartburn. So every now and then I got to have them Tums ready. Take an antacid, you know, to cool down the heartburn. I tell you, and when you take the antacid and you get that relief from that kind of a heartburn, man, it feels good. But this is a different kind of heartburn. This is a heartburn that was caused by the revelation of the Word getting in. And I think it was like an excitement, a filling up.
Yeah,
that
the heart
just
was bounding.
Yeah, it just felt good. Their heart was, wow! It was almost like, you know, just probably being overjoyed and overcome by learning something and being taken so deep into the Scripture, like, oh, that's what that means. But again, but the question though says, but what's this? What? Why is it significant that the two recall that?
I don't know. I think that they recall that
probably when they got their eyes open,
maybe.
Yeah,
before they
broke their eyes and just rejoiced about everything. Yeah, but they were crying and upset about probably a reality check. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and they remember now. Right?
Yes.
When Jesus starts talking to them, and whatever they got, it made their hearts burn, but now they walk away. Jesus now is gone, but now they go back. Man, didn't our hearts burn? In other words, they're now thinking back to how they felt when Jesus was talking to them. And why is that important?
They knew it was something that they were feeling when he was talking to them. They didn't
recognize this is God had their eyes.
And then when their eyes are open,
they're happy and rejoicing that it was him.
And they got the revelation that it's him. But here's the thing. Let's do it this way. Over here, they're talking to Jesus, and their hearts start burning. Then Jesus takes the bread, blesses the bread, breaks the bread, gives them the bread, and then he's gone. And then they get over here. Hey. And then they get over here, and they remember that. Man, wasn't our hearts burning over there when he told us? Why is them remembering that over there important to them over here?
So they know the next time they go through it that they will recognize it.
Recognize what?
Jesus.
Okay. And think about it from your own point of view, right? There are some things that happen to you over there that when you remember them, they benefit you over here.
Right. Right.
If you don't remember over there, you might be in trouble over here. Think about some things that happened in your life that you say, man, I learned my lesson. You ever say that?
Yeah.
I learned my lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah, because something happened to you here, and then when you got over on this side, you remember what happened to you back there.
Yeah.
And you said, I'm not doing that again.
Nope.
Why? Because I learned my lesson.
Yeah. Gotta let it go.
Right. Now, that can happen in good or bad.
Yes.
So here, if right here God gives you revelation, what good is this revelation that you get here if by the time you get over here, you forget about it? You got to recall it. Otherwise, you lose it.
Yes.
Right? That's why the scripture said, right, we got to take more earnest heed to the word that you heard, lest at any time you let it slip. So I think it's important for them that they didn't forget that, man, my hearts were on fire. And here's the thing. And again, what to God in our churches today, that people hear the word on Sunday, and by Wednesday, they still remember it. But there's so many times people go to service and they hear the word, they're screaming on Sunday, and by Wednesday afternoon, and maybe I'm giving too much credit, it could be by Monday afternoon, it could be by Tuesday evening, the latest. What was the word on Sunday? I don't know, but it was good. I can't tell you how many times I've asked somebody what the word was in their church, and they go, I don't know, but it was good. See, there's something about that, amen. You need to recall what you heard. Amen. And I think that's the problem. That people, I don't think there's a shortage of word in the earth right now. I think there's a shortage of recollection. Wow. I think people are hearing the word, but they're not recalling the word. And so all this wonderful word is going forth and people are hearing it, but when they need it over here, they don't recall that they got it over there. And so guess what? It's of no use to them. If they didn't recall that their hearts were burning, they probably would have said, where'd he go? I don't know. All right, well, might as well finish eating. And then they would have watched American Idol, they would have went to bed. Depending on what night of the week it was. Or if they DVR American Idol. But it's so important that we recall things. Amen. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope in the recollection of things. So they certainly got revelation, but it's so important that they remember it. Amen. And so when we get revelation, let's not be so happy that we just got it and our hearts are burning with it, but let us pray to God that we can recall the thing that made our hearts burn, that we can recall the way our spirits were quickened, and so that we can be inspired when we need it, we can be encouraged and strengthened when we need it. But what good is it of being, you know, filled with the word and our hearts burning with the word at that time, but now when we need it, we can't remember it. Does us no good, amen? Does us no good. Now, here's an easy question. What did the two followers do when they returned to Jerusalem?
They were so excited they wouldn't talk about how their eyes was open.
Yeah, right?
I got that one.
Praise the Lord. That's absolutely right. They went and told somebody.
Yeah.
They went back to the others. Same way they went to tell them. But watch this. When they got there, what happened? They went and told them. Let's finish this up. We're in verse 33. And they rose up the same hour. See, that's something. The same hour. They don't wait. You got something to say? Say it. Don't wait. Same hour. Sort of like the shepherds who were abiding in the field. When they were told by the angels what was going on, they said, let us now go. Amen. And see this thing that we were told of the angels. Amen? And then they went back and told it themselves. So they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. So there's a couple of things going on here. So they get up, they find the 11, and when they come in, they go, guess what? But the 11 say something to them first. What did the 11 say?
The Lord appears to Simon.
Yeah. They come in, they go, oh man, we got something to tell you. The two of them, right? The disciple on the road to Emmaus. We got something to tell you. Yeah, we got something to tell you too. The Lord saw, he revealed himself to Peter. And then they said, oh yeah? Well, we got something to tell you too. He revealed himself to us, and he broke bread with us. And everybody telling the stories.
Yes.
Everybody's got something to say. I saw Jesus. So did I. And for the third time tonight, I'm going to say, would to God we would be like that today. I think there are more born-again believers who see the devil more than they see Jesus. What are you talking about? I'll tell you what. This is what I'm saying. When you see the problem, you see the devil. When you see the solution, you see God. When all you can see is the then you see the devil. But when you can look at stuff and see through that and see the possibility, when you can see the potential, when you can see the victory in the midst of the thing that's vexing you, when you can see the triumph in the midst of the trouble, when you can see the miracle in the middle of the mess, you're seeing God. But if you see the mess only, you ain't seeing God. Amen? So these disciples are coming, I saw Jesus, so did I. Man, too many believers come together and their conversation is all about, I saw the devil, so did I. They don't say that, but they go, she getting on my nerves, yeah, he getting on my nerves too. Let's see God. People who see God talk differently. I'm telling you this, if you saw God, okay, put it this way. We can ask ourselves a question. If I saw God, how would I act? No, I mean, like, if I saw God, if I saw Jesus with my two natural eyes, would I act the way, how would I act? Would I act differently? Every wise one of us say, yeah. Would have to say, yep, I would act differently. Yeah. Wouldn't you? Yeah. Yeah. It's something about seeing God that changes things, doesn't it? But here's the thing. God wants us to see him with this, our eyes of the Spirit. But then we'll act differently. We'll act differently. But they went back and they told their story. Let's go to question 12. How might you help others recognize the presence of the risen Lord and invite them to share in all that he offers them? Can we do that? Can we do that? Yeah. How can we help others recognize the presence of the risen Lord?
They have to have faith and believe in him.
But but what can we do to help them?
Tell them about the Virgin and the Bible.
We can tell them, right?
I hope they understand it if they read it.
Yeah.
And live like, you know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Try to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people don't want to listen to that.
I know. And that's why I think when people don't want to listen, because like a lot of times, and sometimes people say, I know that already, I don't want to hear that, you know. Mm-hmm. But the example is probably, I shouldn't even say probably, the example, the living out of the word many times is more powerful and effective than telling somebody the word. Doesn't mean you shouldn't tell, but let your life do most of the telling. It's just like, you know, most of our preaching should be done with our mouth shut. And we're just living it. And people see it. Especially if they see it over time. When people see over time that God has gotten a hold of you and has changed you and has molded you, and it's going to have an effect on them. Because it's undeniable. A lot of times, you know, we like to sit around and look and watch. You know, we watch closely other people, and other people closely watch us. And then we come to conclusions. And we go, yeah, that's real. And so I think the way we live is probably the most powerful message we can give to somebody else. When we can overcome obstacles and we go through things and we're of such a character that when we finish going through it and you tell somebody, they go, I had no idea you were going through some stuff. That's a testimony to how God was keeping you and how you allowed yourself to be kept as you went through. But this is one thing I don't like about all this sharing. Facebook, this book, that book,
thing. That's the worst thing you can have out there.
And this is just me. And people know.
Instagram? What's it?
Instagram.
Oh, man.
I'm eating a sandwich. But here's the thing that I think what happens, because it's a Facebook. See, when I say Facebook, it's the mentality of Facebook. Because I see Facebook when I see them etchings on the back of the car. Mom, dad, three kids, one kicking soccer, one with the lacrosse. Why you gotta tell the whole world? There's this insatiable need for people today to tell other people about themselves.
And they talk about other people too.
But they do talk about other people, but there's a lot of talking about themselves. You know, the Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram, the selfies.
Oh yeah, where did you get that from? All the pictures taken. Oh, the same person though.
Oh, selfies. There've been people. I'm telling you, this is really. We got to check this thing. I read a couple of weeks ago how this person was like at some scenic site or whatever and took a selfie. Was trying to take a selfie and fell off the cliff and died. Mm. And then at around the same time, this young man who was in college, 18, 19 years old, they said he found a gun. So they said that wasn't a thug or anything. He found a gun. And he took a selfie of himself, or tried to take a selfie of himself with the gun, and shot himself and killed himself. Mm. But the thing was, he wanted to. But it was about telling. And this selfie generation.
Wow. I think they overdoing it
somewhere. Oh, big time. Big time. Etchings on the back of your car. Look at my family. My kid is an honor student. That's awesome. Why are you going to tell the whole world? Why you gotta post where you went on vacation? Look what I did.
They put personal stuff out there too.
Oh!
My mom.
Oh!
My dad left my mom.
Oh!
Again. But like, again.
Oh!
Oh! And that's why. So why would you keep putting it out there?
And that's what I'm trying to get at. That there's so many, there's so much talking about self that people, especially as a Christian, when you should go through in a way where nobody knows what you're going through, how's that going to happen in this selfie, tell me generation we live in? There's some things that need to be kept between you and God. But no. We take spiritual selfies. Look at where I am! look at what I'm going through! Spiritual selfies. I tell you, even that word, man, that should just make us really cringe. I'm taking a selfie. A selfie?
I had to ask my granddaughter one day, I said, what are y'all doing, taking pictures?
She's,
why did they come up with that name? That's
probably
I never could understand.
Because you're taking a picture
of
yourself. That's what it is.
Yourself.
It's of yourself.
Oh, that's crazy.
So it's a selfie. Because it's all about me.
Okay, now I understand.
It's all about me. So we got to get away from that. We got to get away from that. But as we live out that life and people can see Jesus instead of us, people will be inspired. People ain't inspired by you. That's why we got to tell the preacher, stop trying to put so much focus and attention on you. You are not the source of inspiration. God is the source of inspiration. And so when people see you, they need to see God if they're going to be inspired. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how tough you are. If all I can see is you, I'm not inspired. I got to see God somehow working in and through you. That inspires me. Because I know the same God who helped you will help me. That's how I can get encouraged. I don't get encouraged by you telling me all the stuff you did. Well, I worked my way up. I sacrificed. I worked hard. I did this, I did that. Now I'm the president of the company. That don't inspire me. But when you tell me you dropped out of school and God opened the door for you, and then the favor of God was on your life, and that God sent people across my path to help me, and then little by little, God taught me some things, and He changed the way I talk and the way I walk, and He made some changes in my life. And as He brought me along, I got more and more opportunities, and now I'm the president of the company, and I give all the praise and glory to God. That inspires me. Because the same God who did that for you might will do that for me. Because the Bible said God is no respecter of persons. So guess what? When I see you, I need to see God if I'm going to be encouraged and inspired. I don't need to see your diploma. I need to see your God. I don't need to see your silver and gold. Don't do like Hezekiah, showing me all your stuff in your house. Show me your God. Amen. An hour later, it's very good. Annie. Amen. Their eyes were open too. But their eyes were open for evil. Amen. Because of the one who fed them. The one who was the host. The one who invited them to eat. Their meal resulted in broken fellowship with God. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, their meal led to closer fellowship with God. Their meal led to the fall of man. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, their meal was all about the risen Christ. Two meals, but totally different. Amen. Eyes open, but what they saw was totally different. What did they see? They saw themselves naked. What did the disciples see? They saw Jesus. Isn't that something?
Yes.
So that's why I say, when you're going through something and you see your selfie, you ain't seeing God. But when you see Jesus, then you know your eyes are open in the right way. Amen? Amen. Broken bread, open eyes. Praise God that He opened our eyes, amen, that we can see Him, amen, and that we can walk in such a way and live in such a way that others can see the God in us, because that is what will inspire them like nothing else can, amen. Let's pray tonight. Father, we give You praise and we thank You. We thank You, we thank You, we thank You. We thank You for the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank You, God, that You are the one who holds our eyes and opens our eyes. Father, the Word says that our times are in Your hand. And so, Father God, we know that our eyes are as well. And so we pray, God, that You will open our eyes and cause us to see, God. We ask that You would give us revelation. We ask that You would give us spiritual insight. We ask, oh God, that You will just show us, oh God, Yourself and Jesus and the Holy Spirit as we come to the Word of God. And even as we fellowship with You, oh God, as we fellowship in the Word and in prayer, and even just as we go about our day, God, as we fellowship with one another, with fellow believers, oh God, let us always see You. In the name of Jesus, and let our focus and our attention be on You, that we may be inspired and encouraged, and others may be as well. And Father, we're praying that as we go forward, that we will continue as we break bread together with You, as the bread of life is shared with us, that we shall have our eyes open and be blessed by the revelation of the true and living God. And Father, we just thank You right now and praise You opening our eyes and using us to open the eyes of those around us, that we all may see Jesus and give Your name the praise and declare that Jesus is Lord. So, Father, we thank You and we bless You for this lesson. Father, as we prepare to leave, we ask You to prepare the roadways for us that we might travel safely. And Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. You are a faithful God, your goodness. And Father, we continue to just ask you to watch over us as we drive on the roadway. Let us arrive home safely. And bless us tonight with your presence. And give us your peace and your rest. And we will give you our praise. In Jesus' name, amen.